we're rolling into, what, the fourth month of the lockout. Bill Daly said, I'm not sure what a meeting does from our side. There is nothing left to give, and it's clear Don is aiming toward a deadline showdown. Don, is that true? Are you aiming toward a deadline showdown in Bill Daly's words?
I have no idea what he means by that. You have to remember, this started out with the owners making demands for enormous salary concessions off of concessions last time the players gave, plus record revenues. Then they didn't get to their 50-50 proposal, which supposedly is what they wanted all along, till a month into the lockout. They've given us lots of, you know, take it or leave it and deadline negotiations and so on. And they know that on the substance, we're not very far apart. When they say they have nothing left to give, I would just ask you, what exactly have they given? When you look at the measurement of the last agreement, all the giving here has been done, you know, by the players. In terms of a deadline, it's only the NHL that has been setting deadlines. The players have never done that. I don't know how we could. What could we do? Threaten to go on strike? We're already locked out.
Well, I was going to say, when you're locked out by somebody, almost by definition, it's the person doing the lockout that's setting the deadline.
You would think. And the other thing is this, you know, when you say there's no purpose to a meeting, I don't know how you settle anything unless you have a meeting and talk about it. So if you say there's no purpose to a meeting, the suggestion would be, I guess, that you're not interested in trying to resolve it, which is unfortunate. Hope it's not true, but you'll have to judge that for yourself.
We're awaiting the results of a player vote on Thursday that could authorize the union executive to disclaim interest, which was, I guess, for want of a better phrase, a legal maneuver that would disband the union. Two-thirds of players must vote in favor of doing so. Don, at that point, what happens to your role and the role of Steve?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to talk about internal matters.
Sure.
I would disagree with your characterization as a tactic. Should the players decide that they don't want to be a union, there won't be a union. And
okay,
that will sort of be the end of that, and we'll be living in a different world. The owners will have to comply with the antitrust laws. Individual players will have whatever rights they have. If the Players Association continues, it would continue as a trade association, would not be representing the players in connection with negotiations.
So would you be head of the trade association then?
Oh, that hasn't even been discussed. Players haven't made that decision yet, and we would see.
Okay, if we go down that road, can negotiations continue? I mean, in other words, if that path is chosen, if there's the disclaim of interest, is there any way that negotiations can continue with the group of players, or as soon as that vote happens, is that it?
All I can tell you is that should should that take place, the NHLPA will not be a union, and it will not be entitled to represent the players in connection with negotiations and management, and that's that.
Donald Fear joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Donald, some players, some people have said the union should have done this earlier, that it might have forced ownership's hands a little bit. I think a lot of people are looking at what happened with the NBA and the NFL. I know they're not entirely comparable, I don't think, but why did you wait so long to start this process?
I'm not going to discuss anything like that. That's all internal. I can only tell you that the players' goal all along has been to reach an agreement.
Do you think this lockout and the way the NHL has fought it will cause Gary to think twice the next time before he uses the lockout as a negotiating tactic? Because clearly this is, if you're using Proskauer Rose as a firm to represent you, I mean, clearly this is a negotiating tactic. This is right out of a playbook. Do you think this will cause Gary to think twice the next time?
I don't know. The fact is, over the last 20 years, you know, you've had now three long lockouts. All the labor disputes that have amounted to anything in hockey have been management instigated and management prolonged. There's no dispute about that. You also have lockouts regularly in football. You have lockouts regularly in basketball. In football, they even, you know, the NFL even locked out its referees, for gosh sake. And so this is a well-worn, well-practiced, well-honed tactic, and I don't know what's going to stop it. The only sport of the four major ones in North America which is stable, which is does not have these kinds of problems, is baseball, and it doesn't have a cap, and each team has to manage its own budgets. You would think that's what management's supposed to do is manage its own budgets and issues. And I think there's a lesson there, because whether you claim you have major financial distress, which the NHL did in 2004-05 but has not this time, or whether there's no doubt at all that you're rolling in money like the NFL, it doesn't matter. You still have a lockout.
There are people who will suggest that one of the reasons that this process has gotten to where it is that you are trying to set a precedent. You're trying to send a signal to other leagues. And again, I'm just throwing this out. Other people have said this. You're trying to send a signal to other leagues that, hey, this strategy can't work all the time. You got to do something else. Are you looking bigger picture here, or is this all about the NHL and the NHLPA?
Absolutely not. My obligation as executive director of this union is to negotiate a collective bargaining agreement with management that the players are prepared to endorse and to ratify. And whether that has any impacts or implications for anybody else in any other industry is for them to worry about. It's got nothing to do with me.
President Barack Obama and Prime Minister Stephen Harper have weighed in recently, you know, saying enough is enough. I mean, it's an easy answer for any politician. It's almost a motherhood issue in a lot of cases, certainly for Stephen Harper. But let me ask you this. Do you think the game has been irreparably damaged by this?
I don't know what kind of adjectives you would apply to it, but certainly when you're not selling your product, you cannot have a positive result after that. I will only tell you that, you know, from management standpoint, Gary has said publicly that he should have locked out the whole season in 94 and took great pride in the fact that there was no loss of revenue as between the year before and the year subsequent to the 2004-05 lockout. So you can draw your own conclusions from that. I can't imagine that it's good, though.
Donald, I mean, I've covered you during baseball negotiations, and I've been a little surprised in some ways during these negotiations. It seems that there's been an attempt by Gary and Bill to sort of use former players and maybe even some in the media to sort of create a sense of rebellion within the player ranks, which clearly doesn't exist. Are you disappointed in that, or did you kind of surprise that? Is that just that, you know, part of labor tactics?
Those things happen, and I think you correctly analyze the situation in the membership.
Very quickly, before I let you go, when do we expect negotiations to resume? Do you have a best guess? Are they done for the Christmas break?
I do not have a best guess. We're ready today, tomorrow, the next day, whenever the owners want to try and resolve this and end the lockout. If they don't, if they see no point in talking, if they're perfectly happy not to have hockey, there's not a lot we can do.